I know I am on the right track when I talk about ideas. I know I'm on the wrong track when I talk about people. Small people talk about people.
That's good.
I know I'm on the right track when I talk about ideas. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I know I'm on the right track when I talk about ideas, and I know that small people talk about people. So, what does it mean to be a small person talking about people? Well, that's called gossip. That's called putting your nose in other people's business. That's called being concerned about what other people are doing and not being concerned about what you're doing. You say, well, I'm concerned about what I'm doing, but not to the exclusion of everyone else, which is what you should do. The moment we start worrying about other people, the moment we start being concerned about other people and how they live their lives, we are not living our life as completely and wonderfully as we could. We are spending our time being worried about others. People come to me and they say, like Ellen did today, she said, would you check over the credit card list of purchases to, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but you check it over. And she said, this is the credit card that the monks use and that we all use, and check it over. Well, obviously,
For your buys.
Yeah, obviously, I would have to know when I was in Henry's, when I was in Walgreens, when I was in these different stores, and the monks go into Henry's, the monks go into Walgreens, and the monks go into Best Buy, the monks go into all these places too, to some degree. And so, I have made a decision. I'm on the right track when I talk about ideas. So I'm going to take the credit card that I have, that the monks all use and everybody else uses, and stop using it. I will only use a credit card that nobody else uses. And that way, whatever purchases I make, they can be easily checked. Because that is what Ellen wants to do. She wants to check over the purchases to make sure that they're in line with what she thinks we should have. So, small people talk about people. Now, what kind of small talk are we doing here? What kind of small talk are we doing? Whenever we disagree with anybody, whenever we misunderstand somebody else, that's small talk. When we really don't care. Now, three times today I raised my voice and said, what? You know, because I misunderstood the word. And it's my fault, totally my fault, that I misunderstood the word. I should listen more carefully, and I should be more responsible for what other people say to me. Or I should not pay any attention to it at all. I should just let them ramble on with what they want to say and do what they want to do and be totally unconcerned. Now, you say, oh, that's an interesting approach. That's sort of like feeling sorry for yourself approach. And truly not. When you are not concerned about what other people are doing, and you're not concerned about how other people are handling their lives, you just see them wonderful and bless them and release them. Really, this is what you should be doing. This is what life's all about. And the minute you start being concerned about them and being interested in their welfare and their behalf, then you just get into all sorts of problems because you're sticking your nose in somebody else's business where it's none of your business. Now you say, well, what if you're responsible for those things? Well, if you're responsible for those things, then that has nothing to do with it, does it? That has nothing to do with sticking your nose in somebody else's business. If you're responsible for whether the car has gas in it or not, then you always ask, do we have gas in the car? You use the car, did you fill it on your way up? Do you have gas in the car? See, that is okay. Now, why are you asking me if I have gas in the car? Don't you realize I always take care of those things and I'm a responsible person? You don't have to ask me if I have gas in the car because I put gas in the car, I always do. You know, and right away you realize you touch somebody's hot button, a button that they feel they didn't do the right thing. They put gas in the car perhaps when they first arrived in town instead of when they were ready to leave it. And so therefore the tank was not adequately full, but it was enough. It's enough to get back to town to fill the tank again. But you see, whenever we get enraged by anything because we feel it's outrageous that we're being asked about it, then you can be sure that there are some buttons that are being pushed there that are not good. And we don't want to be part of button pushing. Because if we're part of button pushing, then what we are is we're part of making ourselves unhappy and making others unhappy. And that is the farthest thing from our mind. Now, we say here, I know I'm on the right track when I talk about ideas. Now, what's a good idea we could talk about? You could say, all right, now, I think that it's an intelligent thing for us to always have our tank filled with gas before we return to the mountain. So if we happen to go out on a journey or tour around or want to run around up in the mountain, the 400 miles that it might take to use up all the gas, we would have it in there to use. But we must save at least 40 miles to get down to El Cajon, if that's where we're going to buy the gas. Or we must save extra miles for emergency or something that we might have. So when I say we always fill up our tank, we fill up our tank. And if you don't like filling up the tank, then we just say, that's fine. That's fine. Then you don't go to town. You don't drive. You walk. And if you want to go to town, you have to go when somebody else goes so that somebody else is responsible for it. Because in all things, we have ideas. And our ideas are beautiful ideas, and it's up to us to be responsible for our ideas. And I was just thinking as I was walking over the hill whether Ingeborg had renewed her driver's license. Had it come up for renewal yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, when it does, renew it. And it makes a wonderful record of, identification as you are writing checks or showing your credit card or something else like that. It's always a good thing to have. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, that's a smart thing to do. Now, what if you have to take a written test? Can you do that?
Yes.
Sure. And what if you have to take a driving test? Can you do that?
So,
no problem. No problem. And so just go and do that and just follow whatever directions that we give you and your life will be a bed of roses. But if you don't, then we're not going to do anything to make your life not a bed of roses, but you will. You will. I'm reading for my driver's license renewal right now. And as I'm reading the booklet on the new laws that they've passed and the new requirements and the things that they say, I took three or four of the little tests there and I passed them. And I think that's nice. But I hadn't read the booklet yet. Now I'm reading the booklet and I see how they emphasize the very things that they talked about on the test were the very things that were emphasized in the booklet. And it's good. It never hurts to do it. Plus, it reminds us to be very patient. Very patient with our driving. It says, if a person is angry and driving, that you should not look at them in the eye. Because if you look at an angry person, you make them angrier. It says, just drive normally and drive whatever is right, but don't never honk your horn at an angry person, because that'll only make them angrier, and they might do something silly to you. And it just gave a bunch of very good little psychological ploys in driving and in driving properly. And then it said one little thing about people who are blind. It says that if you're at an intersection and a person has their cane out or anything and it looks like they're limited vision or blind, watch very carefully. If the person puts this cane down in the street, he's going to start across. If he pulls the cane back and puts it on the sidewalk, he's not yet going to go across. He hasn't felt comfortable about it. And it said another thing, which I thought was interesting. It said, when you're driving, pull up right adjacent to the crosswalk so the blind person can hear your engine, and that will direct him across the street. Whereas if you park 5 or 10 feet back from the crosswalk, giving him lots of room, he won't have his channel of passage clearly in his ears and in his way of doing it. And I thought, gee, you know, if people would read these things, it gives you beautiful insights into people who have a limited vision, but people who have limited sight, people who are angry, people who get upset. And it said, one of the great causes of accidents on the highway today is rubbernecking, where you want to see the accident, you want to see what's going on. Not tailgating. Tailgating is terrible too. But, and it says, if a person tailgates you, make sure that you got additional car lengths ahead of you rather than less, so that if something happens, you'll have space to move. Mm-hmm. And you think that they might want you to close in, you know, so the traffic gets tighter. But no, they say give yourself additional.
Yeah.
And you see, just a lot of little psychological things that if they were to say, now this is a course in auto psychology, you know, you'd say, my goodness sakes. But when they write it up so casually and so charmingly as they do, it is something that everyone is going to read with a great deal of understanding. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, here this little manual on driving an automobile is what you must read before you take the test. It's some 85 pages long. And it is a lot of technical stuff. And I was thinking, how about a lot of these people who are just coming over here from Mexico or some other country, and they're going to take the test? How are they going to do well? How are they going to pass it when it is so complex and the concepts are so complex? But they do. And you know why they do? Because with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their being, they want to have a driver's license. Because the driver's license is their quick evidence that they're an American citizen and that they are approved. And that they don't have to bring out their green card and they don't have to bring out their passport and all these other things. It's beautiful. You see, when you deal with ideas, when you understand the ideas behind the driver program, you know, when you understand the ideas behind why people do things, it makes it all so intelligible. Ideas are the most beautiful things that we could ever want to talk about. I know I'm on the right track when I talk about ideas, because people shouldn't take offense at ideas. If they do take offense at ideas, then you know that you're really touching some buttons with them that they might not even know about. So be very careful about that stuff, because we don't want to talk about people. Small people talk about people. We want to talk about ideas. This is what the big people talk about. This is what the adults talk about.
That's what we talk about.
That's what we talk about, because that's what's really beautiful and good. Well, think on these things. The instant illumination you might get from this may be rather nominal, or it might be fantastic. For me, the things that I've shared with you were very revealing and very delightful, and I had a very good time. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.